seated. As Pastor Denise has already said, we have water baptism this morning. And I thought I would just do a little talking here about why water baptism. Actually, it's a great moment in your life to be water baptized. Matthew 28:19 says, reading from the New Living, "Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Water baptism is something that every believer should do after they experience salvation. Now, over the years, going all the way back, when I was in Bible school, I do have a bachelor's degree, in case some of y'all don't realize it. But sometimes I may not sound like it, but I do. We even studied about this. There was even difference of opinions about water baptism all the way back since the beginning of the church in the book of Acts. Now, there's many, many different ideas about water baptism, and there's many different ideas about the various methods. You know, some churches believe in water baptism by immersion. Others do pour water or sprinkle water on people. Some people believe that you're supposed to be immersed one time. Some people, you got to do it three times. Now, all of these are things, and maybe some of you have heard that. Some like to be dipped backwards into the water and come up. Others say that you're supposed to tip people forward, face down, and then come up. Some say that you should use a water baptismal tank like we have up here. And yet there are other people that say, no, you need to be outside in a lake, in a pond, or a river, or a creek. And when I was growing up in my dad's churches, we didn't have any baptismal tank. So we actually went to a pond, or we went to a creek or a river. The last church he pastored, he left in the traveling ministry in 1949. I went with a man named Edwards and his son. I forgot their first names. We went out to the pond and on the farm to make sure that we had all the cottonmouth and all the snakes were all gone. This is vivid in a 8-year-old kid. We were out there, and I remember he shot this one cottonmouth water moccasin, and you know, with a shotgun, and where the pellets hit it, where it was cotton, you could see the red. It was quite interesting, but we made sure it's safe for everybody. You know, we did a trip to Israel with several people years ago, and some of the people wanted to be baptized in the river, and all of them had been baptized, but they won't be rebaptized in the River Jordan, so I did it for them. The significance, I don't know, but that's what they wanted to do, okay? Now, there are various formulas that people use that they say when they dip somebody into the water. Here at Rhema Bible Church and at all the churches I grew up in, we always said, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, when you begin to talk to people about water baptism, a lot of people have got various reasons and ideas why they don't want to be baptized. Some people are concerned about going under the water. Some people are actually concerned how they'll look when they come up out of the water. These are all things that I have dealt with over the years. And so we will baptize in the tank here in a minute, the pastors will. Why do we have water baptism? Well, it's because of what the Bible says. It's not just a religious ritual. It is a biblical, spiritual, foundational truth. And I just read it, but we'll read it again, Matthew 28:19, New Living. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, in this verse, Jesus himself told us to baptize. If you go back, when Jesus went to John the Baptist there at the River Jordan, John the Baptist baptized him in the river, and as he was being baptized, a dove came and a voice spoke from heaven, said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased." This is something that was practiced by the beginning of the church, which we call the early church. We're the latter church. Many people think that the Acts stopped at the last chapter, but it didn't. We are still a part, serving a part of the, we're still writing the book of Acts, in other words. In Acts 2:37-41, on the day, you know, the day of Pentecost, when 3,000 people got saved, Peter told them to be baptized. Acts 8, the Samaritan revival with Philip down there, they were told to be baptized. In Acts 8:35, the Ethiopian with Philip was baptized. And Acts 10, Peter preaching down at Cornelius' house, they were baptized. In Acts 16:14, Lydia, the city of Thyatira, and her whole household were baptized. In Acts 16:30-33, the Philippian jailer and his household. In Acts 18:8, many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. And then in Acts 19, Paul comes upon some Ephesian believers and asks them about have they been baptized, and he baptized them there. So we see that water baptism was a major part in the beginning of, in the book of Acts, with the early church. Now, water baptism has been done throughout church history, like I was talking about a while ago. Now, what is the importance and the significance of water baptism? When we're saved, we are spiritually baptized into Christ. After we're saved, we are instructed to be baptized in water as a symbol of our Christian faith. Philip told the eunuch if he believed in Christ, he could be baptized, and that's what qualifies you for water baptism. Now, let's go read that story in Acts 8. So beginning with this same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized?" "You can," Philip answered, "if you believe with all your heart." And the eunuch replied, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." He ordered the carriage to be stopped, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Water baptism does not save you. Now, there are some that believe that you're not saved until you're water baptized, even though you have asked Jesus to be a part of your life. If you're not baptized, you're not saved. Well, that is not true. That's not even scriptural, okay? Water baptism, it's done after you have received salvation. Baptism is an outward expression of your inner faith. It's more than a symbol. It's more than a ritual. It's more than a tradition. It actually, water baptism actually signifies, and I got my tongue tangled, that you are walking in a new life. It's, what does this represent? We've already had an inner cleansing where we've been born again. That's the spiritual birth. Water baptism signifies the death of the old sinful nature. You know, and that is it's dead forever, and we arise to a new life. Now, we all know that in 2 Corinthians 5:17, I'm going to read the Amplified version. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual conditions have passed away. Behold, the fresh new has come. So really, when we're looking at this and looking at the significance of water baptism, we need to understand what it's all about. So many times people say, oh, you need to be baptized. Well, you need to understand the reason and the significance for water baptism. It's important. Otherwise, it's just something you do. It is not just something you do. It's something that we do because Jesus instructed us to do this. We therefore look at this and understand that it is a public confession. I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and I want everybody to know that I am raised to a new life. Now, you read here in Romans 6:3-5, I'm going to read the New Living Translation. Oh, have you forgotten that when we joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died, and were buried with Christ at baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in death, we will also be raised to life as he was. Now, sometimes when we're reading the New King James, or you may read the old King James. I sort of like the new. It sort of comes in more modern. But sometimes if you go and look at some of the other translations, some of the other way that people have looked at it, it gives a different connotation. New Testament Greek, that's what the New Testament was written in, is an archaic language. It doesn't actually exist anymore. And in that language, and you know, that's why you don't hardly ever maybe a word or two I will do, but I hardly ever say anything about it, because actually some of the words there carry a different connotation to it. Like when we look at the, when the talk about the Lord was going, Jesus said he would send us another helper, which will be the Holy Spirit. The word paraclete is there, is used, and it has seven different meanings. Now, in the New Testament Greek, they had the word love, and they had for three different meanings of love. As agape love, the God kind of love, phileo love, brother love. I just went blank. The last one is the love between a man and a woman. But we got one word, love. And so that's why I like to read from different, translations, because it sometimes gives us a little better idea of what the scripture really means. Now, I want to read that verse of scripture that I just read to you, Romans 6, 3 through 5, from the Message Bible. That is what happened in baptism. When we were under the water, we left the old country of sin behind. We came up out of the water. We entered into the new country of grace, a new life in a new land. That's what baptism into the life of Jesus means. When we're lowered into the water, it's like the burial of Jesus. When we're raised up out of the water, it's like the resurrection of Jesus. Each of us is raised into a light-filled world by our Father God, so that we can see where we're going in the new grace country. You know, we have to understand what this really represents. It is a public declaration. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that he died and he was raised for my salvation. And actually, that's what is demonstrated when you go under the water and you're raised out. You're being resurrected from the old person that you were to the new person in Christ Jesus. It just boils down to that little simple statement. It represents becoming a brand new person for what is taking place spiritually on the inside. And we all know 2 Corinthians 5:17, we all know it. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. This is the old life going under the water. Being raised from the water signifies that you are going into the new life with Christ. You know, Ephesians 4:24 says, "Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Now, here, that's what I said, put on the new nature. You come up out of the water, you're saying, I'm putting on the new nature. The significance is that Christ died, he arose to life. Baptism is the public testimony of a declaration of a new life, and I intend to live that life according to the Word of God. It's an act of obedience to what the Word of God says. Every every time you read about baptism, it says, repent and be baptized, repent and be baptized, repent and be baptized. So it's not something to be taken lightly. That's why that we, you say, well, you put an age limit when the kids can be baptized. We want them to be old enough to understand the significance of what's going on. Hello? How many agree with that? You understand that? You know, so many times people are told about things and told to do things, and sometimes, and yet they don't really understand. You didn't explain the significance, and they don't understand the significance. That's why I wanted to talk about this for just a few minutes before the water baptism, because so many people, there's so many different ideas, and we got people coming from all walks of life, even from other churches and other areas, and there's so much that's out there that's being taught. And then you have people that have no church background at all, so they have no earthly idea what you're talking about when you say water baptism. So I think it's vitally important that whenever we are baptized, that we understand it. And there was a young boy, and he sort of caught the pastor off guard, and he said, if I was baptized in the river, would the rest of the people know you were baptized? Tommy quietly responded, I guess by my new living. Tommy was right. Water baptism calls us to a new way of living. It's not just something we do. It's something that if you need to follow, because it's what the Bible says. Now, you that are going to be baptized, would you please now go to be prepared? So the ushers will help you. If you're wondering where they're sitting, they're all sitting up in a balcony, so they're already upstairs. And all they got to do is walk around to the dressing rooms. If you have not taken that step and would like to, and you're born again, but you've never been baptized, or you've never taken that step, or if you rededicated your life and you say, I'd like to be rebaptized because I got off course and had to rededicate, then if you will see the ushers, they will help you get to the place, and we have some towels and things there so you can participate. But if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, then I would like to invite you to do so. If you're in this congregation and you have never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, then I want to pray with you, and you can receive Jesus in your heart. And if you'll come down to the front right now, I'll pray with you, and then you receive Jesus in your heart, and you can go right up and get baptized right now. You don't have to wait for the next baptismal service. So if that's you, or you need to rededicate your life, would you right now just stand, everybody stand? Would you just step out in the aisle and come right down here to the front and meet me right here at the front? Because I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. I'm going to wait. Does anybody need to receive Christ? Anybody need to rededicate their life to God? Upstairs, downstairs, wherever. Ushers will help you down here. Just step out in the aisle right now and come right down here to the front. Thank you, Jesus. I'm looking for anybody. Heavenly Father, I thank you. if there happens to be one individual in this place right now that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, or they need to rededicate their life, I pray, Father, that you would go with them and deal with them until they have to stop and ask you to be the Lord of their life. I thank you for it in Jesus' name.